Our first reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, which is on page 728, beginning from verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smothering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Here ends the word of the Lord.
Second reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, page 967 in the church Bibles. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? That wasn't convincing. How are we doing? Still not convincing. How are we doing? Excellent. Happy New Year to all of you. It's good to be here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. And Lord, we thank you that you reveal yourself to us through your word. And Lord, we pray that we would hear you. And that, Lord, as you speak, we would listen. Help us to see you revealed in your glory this day. And may it strengthen us as we go into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know about all of you, and I don't know how decorations work in your house, specifically about taking them down. You see, there'll be lots of traditions. I think lots of people will do various different things across the church and in our society. Some people will be a bit like Wizard. They want it to be Christmas every day. And I have seen some news reports in August where people still have their Christmas decorations up and do Christmas every day, crackers and everything, silly hats the lot. I have seen people who do that. If that's you, no judgment here. Others of you might get to the 27th of December and you might decide that actually that's enough. I've had enough of the fun and the festivity. It's January now, it's dark, and I need to take the decorations down. And you might be you. Again, no judgment. The traditional time for a lot of people is Epiphany, which is sort of ends the 12 days of Christmas, which and it actually happened on Friday. It's the 6th of January. It's Epiphany, and lots of people take down their decorations after that, and lots of people will go there, and that will be their thing at Epiphany. I have discovered that in our house, my wife has a completely different approach to this, because her thing, well, she has two things, really. One, if you live in Buckingham Palace, you know when they take down their decorations? Anybody know? No. It's at Candlemas. Candlemas. So it's actually at the end of January. But Rachel's reasoning is one of the most unique I have heard. And it's simply this. Epiphany is when we celebrate the wise men coming. And it's very rude for them to turn up and very inhospitable for them to turn up and for you to provide no hospitality for them and take down the decorations. Anybody like that reasoning? So some of you do. I don't. I'm like, it's Epiphany now and I've had enough of the lights and I've had enough of the trees and everything. And but Rachel's like, no, and she's completely bought into the Buckingham Palace thing now, so I have to endure Christmas decorations until Candlemas in our house now. So our house will be, if you are feeling a bit glum this January, the January blues do start to hit you, come over. It'll be like Christmas all over again. But her reasoning is simply this, that it's rude to take the decorations down because the wise men turn up at Epiphany. The wise men turn up at Epiphany. And I've been in a few churches now throughout my training and stuff, and every Epiphany I hear those words. Epiphany is when the wise men turn up. And do you know what? We can make it sound like, if we're not careful, like they're the main characters of the story. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying here? You're in danger of saying they're the main characters of the whole story. Because wise men is when the... that was the wrong way around. That's my dyslexia in full swing. Epiphany is when the wise men turn up. And I say no. They are characters in the story. They are good characters in the story. But if we're not careful, we make it sound like they turned up at Harrods on Black Friday, got a good deal on gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and then went on a long walk from Harrods to Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus and offered him these gifts. And wasn't that wonderful? No. That's not Epiphany. Epiphany is not when the wise men turn up. Epiphany is when the wise men celebrate who Jesus is. It's when they lay their gifts before him to point to who Jesus is. And at Epiphany is the heart of the gospel in some ways. The revelation of who Jesus is. The arrival of Jesus and its good news. It is flipping good news. Here is the child of promise. Not everybody's realized who he is and why he's here and why he's come, but he is the child of promise. And the wise men have realized that. They've realized who he is. They can see the main character in the story, and the main character in the story is someone worth worshipping, someone worth giving worth to. They show it in gifts. Sometimes, you know, these days we sing songs, giving worth to Jesus, pointing to him and who he is. Now, the astute among you will be sitting here going, what on earth has this got to do with the baptism of Jesus? What has this got to do with Matthew 3 and what's going on there? And I would say to you, absolutely everything. absolutely everything. Because a bit like the wise men, Jesus has gone on a bit of a journey. Anybody that's ever been to Israel, and I know some of you are looking forward to a trip there this year, we were talking about that last night, some of you are going out there, but you realize actually the traditional spot for where Jesus was baptized is down in the Dead Sea, and Jesus was probably hanging out around Capernaum. It's quite a long walk, actually. So Jesus goes over field and fountain, moor and mountain himself, to quote an inaccurate carol, because there weren't three kings. There's not even a donkey in the Christmas story. Sorry if I'm ruining Christmas for you this morning. There were some magi, we don't know how many. But Jesus himself goes over field and fountain, moor and mountain, to get to the place of baptism. And do you notice what happens with John? He realizes who's come. He realizes who's in front of him. And he gets out of the way. Or at least he tries to. And it's not that the baptism itself isn't important. We are told that the baptism is important because it is right and proper to do to fulfill all righteousness. It is important that Jesus fully shares in our humanity. There's an important point there, and I don't want to dismiss that offhand. The baptism itself is an important thing. But Jesus turns up, and John says, I'm not sure I can do this. Like, I know who you are. I know that the Son of God is stood in front of me. Should I be baptizing you? And Jesus says, yes, it's important that we do. And as John steps out of the way, and as he points to Jesus, we have the revelation of who Jesus is. The revelation of God in his fullness. It's the only time, I think, really where we see clearly and people actually witness the whole Trinity in one place at one time. You could argue perhaps that the full Trinity was present at creation, which obviously it was, but nobody saw that unless you're very, very, very old. And none of you are that old here, I don't think. But in that moment, as John steps out of the way, as he realizes who is in front of him, those who were present that day saw the full revelation of God in that one place at that one time. And my message to you today is actually very, very simple. It's very, very simple. And as we walk into this next year, I want to tell you that you are a character in the story. You are a character in the story, and you will probably have an important role to fulfill in that story. But you are not the main character of the story. You see, the thing is, we're all caught up in a story that has started a very, very long time ago, and it will reach its conclusion at a point when God determines, and I don't know the answer to that one, only God does, but it will conclude, and we are somewhere in the middle. We are characters in a story with important jobs to do. God might ask you to go on a journey. Hopefully you don't have to walk as far as the Magi. God might ask you to go on a journey, but at every step, I think it's so fundamentally important for us as followers of Jesus to point to him, to stand aside when we encounter those people and say, look who he is. Look how great he is. Look how wonderful he is. And we've got a bit more of the story than the wise men had. Look what he's done for us. Look what he's done for us. I'm pointing at the cross, not at the screen. The screen is wonderful. The cross is better. I think it's important for all of us to consider this, especially in the world that we live in now. Because do you know what? If you look around, there's a lot of people pointing at themselves. There's a lot of people out there who seem to think that they are the main character in the story. It's in our politics at the moment, not just here in America and around the world. It's in our celebrity culture at the moment. which a lot of people seem to think is a good way to follow. It's not. You know, there's a man about my age with ginger hair who's released a book recently. And you know what I find uncomfortable about it? He's pointing at himself. We see it in the Netflix documentary as well, for those of you who've seen that. It's pointing at themselves. And, you know, he's not alone. I think he probably needs some better counsel. But he's not alone. It's all over the place at the moment. It is all over the place. We have got to be a people, as followers of Jesus, who shine a light into the middle of this. And there is only one way to shine a light, and that is to point at the true light and to point at Jesus. Point to something else. And so perhaps my challenge for you as you walk through this year is to think each day, each month, each week, how am I pointing to Christ this week? In the ways I'm living my life, in the conversations that I'm having with people, how am I shaping myself to point to who Jesus is? Because the problem is, and you know, Prince Harry's, like I said, he's not alone. All of us can be tempted to do it. You know, it's a temptation for everybody out there. The problem is, if you point at yourself, you will never be enough. You will never be enough. There's only one person who is enough and has more than enough, and that is Jesus. An epiphany. You could say a lot about it, but epiphany, in many ways, is about us realizing that and taking it forward into the rest of our lives. This year, point to Jesus. Help others to have the same epiphany that hopefully all of you have had. You are a side character in a brilliant story, an important character, but not the main character. Amen.